it's just a peek inside of what it's like to be in one of my mastermind groups as an example. But for you, that might be another way to reach the 6 degrees of separation. Invite someone who you do have a relationship with who has that relationship and say, I want to do like a mini group session, right? An expert panel episode where we talk about the state of AI or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea.
That's brilliant. Because then you've got four people promoting the same episode. You're promoting it and the other two or three people on the panel. I think on the podcast, the funnest podcast we've done personally is where we disagree and the guest is disagreeing. Like, it's not throwing chairs, Jerry Springer or anything like that. But like, there's like a, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And but there's this sort of back and forth and the audience is invited into the conversation. So it feels very much less scripted. And it makes it kind of fun.
You're listening to the 7-Figure Leap Podcast. We're here to leverage rich relationships and smart strategies to take your business to the next level. Here's your host, Dustin Reichman.
Welcome back to 7-Figure Leap. This is going to be a really special episode. I hope it's one of what becomes a series of behind-the-scenes look at live mastermind calls. So just give you a little context. So what is a mastermind, first and foremost? So a mastermind is really where there's three or more people who gather together around a common cause to solve a common struggle, to achieve a common objective. So what's really cool about what happens when a well-run mastermind is assembled is that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Meaning if there's five members, you get like 10 times the brain power, because there's this multiplicative effect of a mastermind. You're like the third mind emerges, is what Napoleon Hill would say in Think and Grow Rich. So that's sort of what a mastermind is. My own mastermind group, the 7-Figure Leap Mastermind, is my ongoing group of entrepreneurs who are mission-driven, very ambitious, growing, building seven or multiple seven-figure businesses. These folks originally come from the Accelerator Group, which is the Podcast Profits Accelerator. That's a 90-day program we run that adds a 6-figure marketing channel to your business using podcast guesting. So a very specific promise, a very specific time frame. The folks there also benefit from masterminding because it's ran in a mastermind format largely. So masterminds in both of those. But this clip today, which is a lengthy clip, it's a big chunk of one of our recent meetings, highlighting a hot seat session. So a hot seat session, really simply, and sometimes we'll call them spotlight sessions, is where a specific member raises their hand and says, hey, I need help with this specific issue, or I have this idea I want to brainstorm, or I have this thing I want to name. It could be any number of things, but it's a call out from one member to the larger collective group. Many times, some really, really, really cool insights and new ideas emerge from that. And so this specific hot seat, and of course, everyone in here is given permission for me to share this clip. Everything we do is typically confidential. Is Mickey Anderson, one of our members, a digital marketing agency owner, and a podcast host. And as you'll hear, the sort of impetus of this is like, hey, I have this podcast. What can I do to both give the best experience to the guest and to maximize my business growth opportunities from the podcast? This quickly turns into not just hosting, but guesting. And not just Mickey's specific application of it, but like how people have written books using this process, lots of other content repurposing, how people have sold 6 figures of high ticket sales through podcast guesting and hosting. Very specific, very tactical. You're going to hear from multiple members of our group and their insights, including my own. And I was a guest on Mickey's show, and you're going to hear me talk about that. So just to give you a little context, this is about half of one meeting, and leading up to where I clipped this, Mickey had given her general question. And one of the things we love to do is ask clarifying questions. So there was a discourse that I cut out because I didn't think you'd find it all that interesting. We really tried to get to the heart of the matter. So as we start this private behind the scenes look at what we do in the mastermind, you're going to hear me open with, so Mickey, the essence of your question is this, and then we're off to the races. I think there's a ton of gold nuggets in here. I hope you really appreciate the ability to kind of see what we do inside the 7-Figure Leap Mastermind. If this is an experience that you want, the best place to start is with our Accelerator program. You can get access to the details on that and ask questions about that simply by going to 7figureleap.com, and you'll see a button there to schedule a consultation. Very casual, no pressure. We're going to talk about what we do, see if you're a good fit. And then from the Accelerator, if you want to be in this particular group, I'd love to talk about that in the future. But for now, let's see what it's like to be in a really well-run mastermind with super smart, ambitious people and just get a taste of the insights that come from that. And I hope you can take these specific insights and apply them to your own business. So the core question you have right now is, how to maximize the impact of your podcast on your business?
That, and then also all of you are podcast guests. All of you have been on shows or hosted podcasts, and you know what it's like to have an outstanding situation where you want to tell your friends you need to be on this podcast, where you want it to do well. And you probably are already been on podcasts where you're like, that was, I've been on a bunch of those. And so ideas as well for how do I make the experience of being a guest on my show feel like that, just above standard experience. So the surprise and delight.
Well, I use you as the example of when I felt that way. I would say you and Mark DeGrasse are the two top hosts that I've ever encountered. And I've done like 70. So keep doing what you're doing. I don't know. That, and that was like a year ago, right? So you've probably even refined since then. But what I can recall, because that was a long time ago, it was really the quality of your interview style more than anything. I felt really heard. You asked me questions that most people weren't asking me. I think you helped give me the space to actually, I came up with words in our interview that I've then since used, like hooks or stories, because like you leaned into something and I don't know. So you're a very good interviewer. And I think that's something you've worked on, which is also a natural skill set. As far as enhancements to the process, I mean, I don't recall what you already have and what's changed, but I like it to be, especially if you're trying to kind of have premier guests. I mean, I think making it as easy as possible to show up and shine on the show. So for me, that means like not a long application, no pre-calls, because like I'm really busy and the people you want are going to be really busy. So like as far as the pre stuff goes, and then I think post, you did a good job too of as much as possible, like give me the content assets out of this so I can make you look good, but also so I can go use it in my own stuff. And you did that. You gave me great video clips. I recall branded images and things like that. So the whole Cap Show, that was a tool you talked about last week, that giving me those assets and giving me full access to them. And I think that was really awesome. Backlinks to my site. I'm trying to think of some of the kind of more nuanced stuff.
I've got a couple of ideas here.
And referrals. Like if you're like, hey, Dustin, I know someone, yeah. You know, if you can give me a referral at the end of our conversation, you're always going to be endeared to me, right? So, sorry, I went on, but I kind of
like, I don't do good.
That's good. Topic. So good.
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I go everything Dustin just said. And so I used to be a podcast host. I've done over 100 interviews and then I killed my shows. I had a couple, but I've been on a podcast guest probably like 60 or 70 times now. Most of them are exactly the same. We have zero relationship except for I show up on a Zoom call, I talk, you go, well, that was great. And then the recording's over. And like, that's kind of it. So I would say like the fact that you're already doing some, like, it sounds like you're very strategic about like the before and after. A lot of podcast interviews feel like a one night stand. I've never actually had a one night stand. So I guess I don't know that. But what I imagine is like, you show up for the appointment and they're like, you're awesome. You're so great. Oh my gosh, this guest is amazing. Look at all his insights. And then like, you never hear from them again. I think that's probably something you could do to really stand out is like build like a long tail pipeline in terms of following up with people after an interview. Like what's changed? Yeah. Do you want to have them come back on as a guest, like a follow-up, a recap episode 6 months or a year later? Because there's so many different ways you could do that. One example, the referral is one.
Like a referral.
Referral's great, but honestly, even just checking in. Like I just kind of think of like how many people, like I've actually been on like really good shows, some small, some big, some that don't exist anymore. But I think that's a missing piece is like really just treating it like a really intense relationship. There are a couple podcasts that I've been a guest on two or three times, and those interviews get so much better because we start like referencing our past conversation, especially as an author, like that's a natural thing to be like, I have a new book, but that's me reaching out. That's not them. So a real life example of recently, like so Michelle Gifford is here right now. She had me in her podcast and that was one of my favorite interviews ever. Not because of the production quality. I had to actually remind her to put her mic closer to her face because it was like off on the side of her desk. Like the audio quality wasn't that great. So she was just energized. It was one of my favorite interviews, if not my favorite interview ever, because she actually cared. She wasn't just asking me questions for the audience. She was like, no, stop that. Coach me, John. What am I doing wrong? And then she took action. She made over $10,000 in the next week. 6,000 of that was monthly recurring revenue. Because she literally just listened. As a guest, I have never felt so heard. Like, yes, she shared the podcast episode. Yes, it is the only podcast episode that is now part of my evergreen automation for all new subscribers. So like, make sure they go listen to it. She was like, it's really just about a human relationship. You heard, you paid attention, you followed up, you took action. That's what I would share.
I love that. I like the idea too of following up and saying like, hey, I learned this thing from you and here's how I used it. And I want to say thank you. Like, I think that's probably a good... I do that all the time where I'll think of someone and be like, man, or I reference them in a show. I do that a lot. Anytime I'm interviewed, like digital marketer, I talked about Dustin. I talked about a bunch of different people. So just being able to say, hey, I said your name and it reminded me of you. I love that idea. Thank you.
First of all, I think I should say this again, like give yourself credit for, like Eric said, zone of genius. You're an extremely good interviewer and listener. That alone is going to set you apart. I think the stuff we're giving you now are like another 1% sort of things. So yeah, you're doing an awesome job. Was there a piece of your question though that's more like, which guests should I target and invite to meet my business goals?
Yeah, I think, so I get requests all the time. And most of the time, if they hit at least two or three of my check marks, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Let's do it and see what happens. I want to be a little bit more strategic in who I'm selecting and the types. And for me, the podcast has always been a personal thing. It's like, I want to get free coaching and learn. That's all. That's why I started the podcast. It's like, I can't afford to pay for coaching. So I'm going to get free coaching by interviewing smart people. And I still do that. Most of the guests are like, oh, I could learn from you. You're coming on. Oh, why not? They love it. But I've, over the course of the time, like there've been partnerships and relationships that have built that have helped me, not just directly. Cause for me, like, I don't know that this is really somewhere that I want to get leads for my agency per se, but I do want to build relationships with the right people who can help me career-wise, personally, growth-wise, and positioning more than anything.
Yeah. My advice there would be really specific on the who's you want, and then don't be shy about inviting and leaving the bandwidth there to have space for them on your calendar. Prioritize those first. I don't know your who's or whatever. You're like, man, if I could get to know whoever, this marketing agency owner, or you're obviously, you know, Mark DeGrasse or Pat Flynn or Nathan Berry or whatever, you like start thinking like, man, these are like A-list people I'd love to have on my show. I think I would give you the feedback that you've done enough now to qualify yourself to invite all those people. And the worst they can say is no. But now that you've got this really cool list of guests, you've got a lot of credibility, you've got good ratings, and you already know with 100% confidence they're going to have a great experience, get real specific on who you want and then go ask them, right? Use the same stuff we talk about for as a guest to get to pursue hosts. Just flip that around and go pursue the guest that you want and ask in this group, because there may be connections too. And it's so easy. If I'm not doing this on John's behalf, but let's assume John knows like Nathan Berry and he was on your list, it's pretty easy to ask for John to be like, hey, Nathan, I got a woman in my mastermind who's got a killer podcast, really good. Would you be interested in being a guest? And make it sound like it's a favor to him, not the other way around. You know, I mean, it's so easy to ask someone to be a guest because you're holding their status up, right? So,
well, and it's 6 degrees of separation, right? I want to get to Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn knows Bob. Bob knows Susie. Right? So just kind of work your way down. But I'm wondering if the other end of it is where else you're getting ancillary. But for example, CPAs are good referrals for me because they're in the same industry, but tangentially.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's like a tangential relationship to you. It's like, man, everybody needs a legal person. So I need to find a legal person, because if you're in business formation, you probably need marketing help. Like, and you don't want that business because you're 2 million into 7, right? These people have been in business for more than 5 minutes. But I'm wondering if there's sort of like a universe just outside of that that you could tell.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this, but kind of messing it up a little bit, where I was thinking auxiliary industries that could be great people to connect with, where we could collaborate, but also we could refer for each other. Because I don't want it to be just like a one-way thing. I like to refer clients to other people as well. So I want it to be mutually beneficial. I'm just looking at the,
So think of like the people you're doing affiliate stuff for, like invite the owners of those software companies to be interviewed, right? Like,
yeah, I did have Julia McCoy of Content at Scale. I've had a few. Yeah. I don't know how I get these people though, but yeah, she could totally introduce me. Oh my God. That's such
this is what I do. This is how I built my whole business. So like, I would love, if you give me any specific thing, that'll be my zone of genius thing, right? Or my genius session. I'll work with you, Mickey, and we'll get you in contact with them, because again, it's like such an easy, they all want to say yes. Obviously, they may be overbooked and busy, but in general, it's a really easy for them to say yes to.
I want to just like follow this thread a little bit. Mickey, if you already know that the reason why you want to talk to these people is like you just want free coaching, you're just going to be the best coaching student. The best coaching student has like follow-up or recap episodes where you're saying, here's how I did this thing that this person told me about and how it changed my life. Those are the things that they're going to like. Every teacher wants to get those emails. I literally have an employee on my team who, like, I hired her because she sent me her personal case study of like, here's how I followed all your advice and when it's done. I was like, you're hired. I found out later that was actually her strategy and not just a coincidence. So she played me, but it worked out really well. With Michelle, she used to come back to the shelves example, just because that was a recent interview that I went on. Like, she did a recap episode that it was just, all right, here's all the things I tried that John told me and here's the results. I was just like grinning ear to ear that entire 15-minute episode, because it's just her talking to the mic. But it was just like so cool to be like, yes, you listened, you did it. And so I think that if you already know you want free coaching, and like where we're talking about, like to Dustin's point of like getting clear on your who's, is just like leaning in at less but better. So in other words, maybe it's the weekly podcast, and maybe you don't have a guest every week. Maybe it's more about implementation of what are the things you want to learn, and then following up on like, okay, here's what I'm learning, here's what I'm doing. And that could be really a really powerful format.
John, that's freaking brilliant. The other component of that is the synthesis through your eyes of what you got out of it. Because John's going to talk about what he does, but he does it all day long, or Dustin, whoever, right? I remember being in chemistry in college because I hated chemistry and I had to take it and I was trying to get out of it. But I remember thinking, this moron doesn't realize what it's like to not know chemistry. Like, he's talking so far over my head. So if you have a guest on there like John or Dustin that are like brilliant at what they do and you can synthesize it for the idiots.
This moron.
It helps the podcast guests because they get the attaboy out of it. But yeah. Man, the audience gets so much more because you've given the 101 version of it.
I love that.
When I started my podcast, I was in John Lee Dumas's master, whatever, like his group thingy that he does. When I had like a 101 with him and I asked him like what I could do to grow my own podcast. At that time, I was only doing guests and he told me that you need to do your own, like have your own solo shows because like people are coming like for you. So he told me, which was like in line with everything that John Sharon Gear. But after every episode, whenever you go off with an episode, to do like your three biggest takeaways of like your biggest takeaways. Yes, this is even before you implement them. And then you could do another one afterwards of when you do implement them. And it was like a short 5 minutes episode. And then that way you have your guest and then you also have your own without it being a lot of work. And great. Because of that, people like those episodes way more. It grew my podcast, got me clients more. And because of that, I switched to only solo. And you have a different purpose in your podcast, but the idea of it.
I can't push myself.
or could you? That'd be interesting.
That's brilliant, ST.
Yeah.
I've been podcasting for 14 years, and I think the interviews, they're done well. I think the thing I hear, not from getting interview folks, but on the other side of how do I turn those folks who are doing 2 to 7 million, because they may not be marketing experts, or you're talking to business leaders and owners in their industry. How am I taking that person and going, hey, by the way, I have this amazing agency? Because yeah. I know Dustin has talked about doing his, and that's a big thing. So the weird thing that I've noticed for myself is when we get into that place, the interviewer makes it weird and they're not upfront with what they're doing. So it gets a little like, so did you just do this interview so you could pitch me? Because had that been the case, why didn't you just tell me you wanted to pitch me? And I would have just said yes or no to that. And I wouldn't have had to like do this interview. So I think with those folks, you just need to be clear on what you're doing. But you also need to be able to pitch those folks, because if they are ideal clients and your goal is to get 6 new clients next year, I think if you get that process down, follow up, I believe John hit it on the head. If there's a follow up sequence for those folks to maybe get on a call to learn more or do something with you, so that way you can get them deeper into the funnel and them getting to understand, oh, wow, Mickey and her agency can do this for me. I think that would be key, because if you're interviewing a number of people, then you have those opportunities. But I do believe what ST is saying too, is you also have to come and show your expertise. And I think it's why Elisa and I have done well in our niche, where a lot of people have faltered because they just interview a bunch of other relationship folks. And it's sort of like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about most of the time, but it just gets bland. I want to hear from the expert sometimes. And I think ST brought that up just so well of like, well, this is what I really pulled out of it. Those are those people who are. And then in that, you're talking about your agency and like, hey, we work with companies that are doing 2 to 7 million. If this is you, then jump on a call or fill this thing out or do whatever. And that gives you that opportunity as well.
Yeah, I love that. I think one of the challenges is I naturally attract a lot of marketing people. So I love to talk about marketing. But like a significant amount of my guests, I run either lead gen agencies or something like. And so I think I just need to no longer spend too much time on the people who are going to be.
It's being intentional. And so I was actually going to say the exact opposite of what you just said, because one of the things, well, you said you have the business leaders who just need marketing help as clients, but you also have marketing agencies that you do white label services for.
Yeah.
So my thought of like, if there's like a key software that you know all the top agencies use, getting that interview and then talking to that person afterwards and saying, by the way, we do these white label services at a really high level. I don't know if any of your clients could use that. I think it could be one introduction away from filling up 6 more clients in that realm. On the other hand, if you're like, I really want more of these like non-marketing business leaders, then I would invite them on to do marketing strategy for their business. You know, what John did on Michelle's, you are coaching them live and getting them very excited about a strategy, and it's giving them, it's basically like your sales call live, but they're not going to feel manipulated. because they're gonna be like, wow, this was amazing. Plus, you're such a good interviewer that they're gonna feel like they really had a space they don't usually get to talk about their story. And I don't know, I'm in a bit reflecting to you what I'm planning to do with this long-awaited podcast that's coming. But yeah, the structure I'm looking at is doing 2 interviews a month and then have an in-between, like a deep dive solo, where it's me talking about one of the strategies that we had discussed, like in a deeper way, and then having more of a case study highlight with you guys, highlighting you and your success and talking about you as a case study. But I love what ST added about also be able to do a quick recap sort of episode. And my approach to the guests that I want to interview is, yeah, they would all be ideal clients or referral partners. I'm going to have a huge emphasis in my show about why. Everyone talks about what they do, right? And I want to get to understand why they do what they do and the story behind it, and then talk about what they really want. So then talk about, okay, future pace, kind of at the end of the episode, what does this look like in 3 years in a dream outcome? And then we can talk about either live or after the things that are going to hold them back or where they feel short from that. And then I can help them, coach them, hopefully give them an insight. So they come away feeling like energized, they got a clearer vision for their future, they've got to speak about their story, they feel heard. And then after the mic, unless it's just something crazy, I'm always going to try to make a connection for them. Like, you got to know Eric, or you got to know John, or whatever. So then they're like, wow, this, what a giver. And then, of course, for me, I might say something like, you're a really good guest. Have you ever thought about doing this as a marketing channel? Yeah. So I have a meta purpose. But anyway, that's my vision that I've talked a lot about, but haven't actually implemented yet for my podcast. So I don't know if there's anything in there that you're like, yeah, because I feel like you have very similar goals with your podcast.
Yeah, I totally never, I don't know why I never connected. I think because we don't outwardly market the white label stuff. It's very like NDAs. We don't talk about Bruno. Right. They just call us and they're like, help. I haven't actually made the connection of like, oh yeah, I could actually like intentionally grow that side of the business. No, no, like I never thought that. So that is hugely helpful. And I think my mind just exploded a little bit. The way that I was looking at this coming in is like, we create such great assets and content for our podcast guests that I was going to focus on, okay, here's what you could do. And if you are a guest and you're not getting this kind of stuff or creating this kind of stuff, you should be, and we can help instead of coaching on the call. But I like the idea of bringing that in. Well, I have a lot of insanely helpful bubbling. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, just get them so excited in the conversation about what content could do for their business.
Yeah.
That's really what you're selling, is how important content is. And then logical next question, how do I get it? Oh, that's what we do. You know, so.
Yeah. If I could add one more, like a little bit of a plot twist idea. Whenever I create content, I try to double dip. I try to create one thing that does two things. And so I guess I was just thinking about this in relation to what you're doing right now, just to be intentional about that. So like right now, everything I create for a newsletter, the reason why I pay to illustrate my newsletter is because those are going in my next book. I create the book outline first, and then that becomes like my newsletter sequence is literally just me writing the book every week. I remember now why I had my last podcast. I was like, why did I have a podcast? It was because I wanted this book, my first book, to be full of interviews. And so I interviewed people and then I transcribed it, included that in the book. And then every single one of them endorsed the book, promoted the book. I still get people who are like, how do you have those level of endorsements? Some of the people who endorsed the book. And it's like, that's why. It's because they were, oh, I featured you in the book. And I just like made that a big deal, as if that was not like the plan the whole time. I think when you're talking about your target customer right now being these like $2 to $7 million service-based companies, that if they're not a marketing company, they might not be listening to podcasts. A book might actually be a great way to reach them. And then you might already be creating the content right now for the book if you think about it. So I'm not saying it has to be a book, but I just want to encourage you to think through the double dip of like, how can you repurpose this content for other things in your business? Because you're creating really valuable assets.
Yeah. Tony, the guy you introduced, Dennis McEntee, I think is his name.
Yeah. Dennis and Lisa. Yeah. The leadership development.
Yeah. So that's how they do theirs. The whole podcast is just them writing their next book. And it's chapter by chapter by chapter, every podcast. They don't do really, guesting is not a deal for them, but it's case studies. For you, it would just be case study after case study after case study. And then 12 months later, you've got 12 chapters of the book and you're done and you just package it up and go, which I thought was brilliant.
Or even better, if you take those interviews and you get ChatGPT 4.0, this is what we're going to do. And then you upload all that information into ChatGPT because now it's your voice. And then you tell ChatGPT to just write the whole thing.
Yeah, I have Jasper and that's what we do. We use ChatGPT 4.2, but it's the same. Yeah. That's clutch.
Because then like that's what we're gonna do moving forward. I'm like, I'm done writing the entire thing. Like, let that sucker just take my voice and write what we're doing, and then we'll go through it, and then we'll have our editor go through it, and then we'll have our proofreader go through it, and we'll still go through all the process.
Yeah, you're already speaking that content anyway. I mean, out in your podcast interviews every week. So that's awesome. And Mickey, another thing that I'm planning to do that you may or may not want to do. I'm not doing this as like the podcast, which is the original idea, because it would be too difficult logistically. But from time to time, I'm going to do mini mastermind sessions as the podcast. The point would be, it's just like a peek inside of what it's like to be in one of my mastermind groups, as an example. But for you, that might be another way to reach the 6 degrees of separation. Invite someone who you do have a relationship with, who has that relationship, and say, I want to do like a mini group session, right? An expert panel podcast, an expert panel episode where we talk about the state of AI or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Oh, I love that idea. Yeah.
That's brilliant, because then you've got four people promoting the same episode. You're promoting it and the other two or three people on the panel. I think on the podcast, the funnest podcast we've done personally is where we disagree and the guest is disagreeing. Like there's a, it's not throwing chairs, Jerry Springer or anything like that, but like there's like a, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And but there's this sort of back and forth and the audience is sort of like invited into the conversation. And so it feels very much less scripted, you know, and it makes it kind of fun.
Well, I'm going to literally, as soon as we hit in, I'm opening up in the general channel on Slack, and I'm going to start a discussion about finances, because you guys were all nodding when I was like, that's a great topic. So I want to capture it while you're enthused. So I know if you don't go to Slack much, you can leave an audio on there or a video. Like you don't have to type it all out. If you just want to be like, here's what we're doing. But the prompt, I'll kind of model it in there. What's your structure, your legal structure? If you have a financial system that you love, tell us about it. And then we can learn from each other. Because I know, as my business is upgraded this year, I've got an appointment with my CPA and some things are going to have to change, and I'd love to learn from you all. So sorry, Mickey, I just want to get that in before we hit, and people had to drop.
Great. I just got off a call with my fractional CFO.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to your feedback on it. So any final questions, Mickey, or anything? It seemed like you got a ton of good feedback.
No, that was, I've got so many ideas. It hurts. And I've got 4 pages of notes. So thank you. If any other ideas come up, or if anyone, John, yes, anyone who wants to be on the show, like it's an open invitation. You don't have to ask, like everyone here is welcome to be on the show. I try and give you a really great experience if you want to be a guest, and I give you all types of really good content to use. So just let me know. You can ding me on Slack.
And you were so great. I mean, if you've not heard the other podcasts where Dustin and everybody's been on, Mickey's just a badass. The questions, the insight, the like really just cool, insightful questions about stuff that you wouldn't have thought about, or I wouldn't have thought to bring up, or Dustin might not have thought to bring up, but it's like, oh, wow, that's actually really brilliant. I hadn't thought about that, but blah, blah, blah. Your ability to sort of pull stuff out of people is really cool.
Totally agree.
So, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, definitely stood out to me. Yeah, I say you because of that. You gave me space and we talked about some unique things that were still things I cared about and were serving my purpose of wanting to be on the show. And then with Mark, I think my experience with him, it was like 20 minutes. He's like, I got to pick up my kid at 3:30. You think we get through this in 20 minutes? And it was like the most concise interview I've ever done. And so I think at two ends of that spectrum, that's what made it unique, because most people are in the middle.